ABC Radio Australia.
And that Beijing and Honiara security pact has made headlines around the world and became a main election talking point in Australia's recent federal election. With the visit of China's foreign minister today, though, what are the realities of security issues on the ground in Solomon Islands? Joining me now is Dr. Anouk Rai. She's a Solomon Islands-based researcher and is affiliated with the Initiative for Peace Building at the University of Melbourne. And she's here to discuss this. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is the feeling in Honiara today and at the moment this week about this visit from China's foreign minister?
Well, this week is certainly a big step up in the diplomatic relations between China and Solomon Islands. But one of the things I've been sort of talking about in the last few weeks, too, is, you know, after these announcements are done and, you know, things sort of move on with the Australian election, we really need to start talking about Solomon Islands security threats and what's actually happening here and what the real needs are right now.
And what are those? What are those needs? What are the real security threats? There seems to be a geopolitical stoush over who can best help Solomon Islands deal with these security threats, but what are the realities of that?
Yeah, exactly. So we've got a number of security problems right now, or crime that's sort of happening more or less out in the open right now. And, you know, in the cities in particular, that's theft, it's illegal sales of alcohol and marijuana, it's organized prostitution, money laundering. These are all occurring, you know, on a regular basis, and the police have struggled to really be proactive and act on these. And then, of course, we have a big situation coming up potentially next year, which is the national general election. So politics has become quite fractured. You know, there's two sides. They have quite opposing positions. They rarely talk to each other. And also there's sort of political fractions between the provinces and the national government as well. So it's going to be a very controversial election, and we really need to think through what the security threats are around that election and make sure that the Solomon Islands Police Force and also any other foreign forces are responding appropriately.
With that idea of the police force, you know, in the past, as the Australian government has helped to bolster with training and to deal with things like security threats on the ground, they obviously left Solomon Islands a while ago, did come back recently because there were riots in Seoul's to do with the Prime Minister. On the ground, what is the feeling in terms of outside foreign powers helping with the police force? Do people lean a certain way, or what do they talk about when they talk about, yeah, other countries helping out to bolster the Seoul's police force?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the mood is much more different than, 2003. Like, 2003 was after the civil conflict. You know, you had men on the street with guns. Everyone was really insecure, and foreign forces were really welcomed because they had that initial show of force, and also they had a disarmament program so that they got guns out of the hands of local people, and then, you know, people could feel safe to go market and do, you know, do their everyday activities. This time there's been a lot of questions, you know, do we need foreign forces at this point? I mean, we've now, you know, the civil conflict was like 20 years ago next year. that's when it finished, yeah? So we've now had sort of foreigners having a significant presence in security for more or less 20 years. What are the real impacts of this? Why do we still have, you know, these things happening on the streets, you know, illegal alcohol sales, prostitution, money laundering? Why do we still have this need after all this time? Obviously, something's not, you know, going right there with the assistance that's being provided in terms of improving the Solomon's police from a service user perspective. So, you know, the problems that people have with who experience crime and then need to report it to the police are, you know, about the slowness of the police and the justice service, about their lack of proactiveness sometimes. So, you know, that's Solomon Islanders, they really just want an effective police force, right, that will respond to these everyday issues that they have, so that they also feel confident to report crimes. Like, one of the issues with the police force at the moment, and this was sort of shown out in several surveys, is trust by Solomon Islanders in their own police force is fairly low. We'd want it to be much higher, you know, as indicated in surveys and so forth. And to make that trust, you know, stronger and to come up, we need a proactive police force that seems to be responding to the security threats that people can see on the streets or in the villages or at the logging camps. These are the things that people want to see. They want to see progress on those kind of issues. So the police, the foreign forces that came this time, they've been much more criticized and there's been much more questions asked about them in civil society, the opposition, parliament, different forums.
My guest this morning on Pacific Beat is Dr. Anouk Ryder, Solomon Islands-based researcher. And we're talking about the impacts of the visit of China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi arriving today. Dr. Anouk, you recently published an article is the word that I'm looking for there, looking at how Australia has to put aside its tough talk on China to fix the sort of geopolitical mess it finds itself in with the Pacific and specifically with Honiara. You say that to fix that engagement, Australia needs to draw some red lines with Solomon Islands. What are those red lines and how should they go about doing that?
Yeah, well, I think the first red line that Australia needs to draw is around itself. So they led the Solomon Islands Assistance Force, which was the sort of foreign police and troops that came in after the riots in November 2021. But compared to previous engagements, this force is very vague. We don't really know what the metrics of success for this force are, what they're supposed to be doing, how long they'll stay, and also how they operate together. There's been sort of some confusion about who's in it and how they operate together. So I think the first thing it would be really useful for, you know, increasing people's senses of security around the presence of foreign troops is better communications about what Australia's doing here right now. You know, we know from the Ramsay days that that was really important, yeah, like when the regional assistance mission was here, just explaining to people, assuring them of any anxieties they have around foreign troops and also giving them a mechanism to report any wrongdoing by foreign troops. Because we know through interventions, you know, around the world that troops are men. Men are not perfect. They sometimes do the wrong thing. So where do you go to report that kind of misconduct and how is that going to be held account? All of these things are quite unclear with the current Australian engagement in Solomons. And that's a real problem. And that's one of the reasons why this sort of new presence is being questioned a lot, I think. Then the second thing is that Australia and UNDP and other donors, you know, from Asia and the West, they also have a big role generally in supporting national general elections. So it's good now for donors to be working with the local agencies to think through how they're going to handle security incidences that come up during the next election next year or possibly the year after. Because this election, ideally, when you have, you know, these very polarized political environments, whether you're either like 100% for China or you're 100% against, and there's no in-between ground, for example, or you really believe that a federal system is the only solution, or you want to keep a centralized system. These are the kind of, you know, political divides that we have right now. So when you have these political divides, the best thing to do is to have a free and fair election that can either, like, one side wins and so the other side has to sort of accept it, or perhaps, you know, both sides get sort of an equal position and then they have to negotiate, right, and come up with sort of some consensus or more moderate position. So that would really solve, you know, a lot of the sort of political fracturization and the security incidences that come up around politics if we can have some sort of peaceful resolution of some of these issues through the process of the election.
And speaking of those fractures, though, within the election, what impact do you think stronger ties with China and this visit from the foreign minister could have on that upcoming election, which is potentially next year?
I think China will be an election issue and people will campaign on it, on pro or anti views. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. But when we say pro or anti-China views, China has sort of become symbolic of maybe what sort of government Solomon Islands wants to have. You know, does it want to have a very centralized approach? Does it want to have more of a participatory democracy, which, you know, the opposition sort of starts to talk about sometimes? So China will be a big issue in the Solomon Islands election, but it'll also sort of be that linking point or that symbol for other issues around what kind of politics and governance Solomon wants to have.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see how it continues to play out across this year. And of course, today with China's foreign minister arriving in Solomon Islands, Dr. Anouk Ryder, thank you so much for joining me here on Pacific Beat.
Thanks so much.
Dr. Anouk Ryder, a Solomon Islands-based researcher, also affiliated with the Initiative for Peace Building at the University of Melbourne.